I'm not sure about that. Are you glad you're saved today? Amen. That's good. That's good. I'm glad I'm saved. You know, we as believers ought to communicate that. We have so much to be thankful for. God has been good to us. We ought to show that forth. Amen. Appreciated that. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of Joshua. I did want to make a couple of, just to tell you about a few things. We have some of our church calendars. They're there on the back of the resource table, and feel free to take one of those for your family. They're peel and stick, and you can put them places. And so put one on your refrigerator, on the dashboard of the car, or someplace like that, different places. Also, we have a few of these Baptist bread devotional guides, and these can help you have something to go off of for daily devotion. There's a few of them left. They're going fast. Additionally, we have our prayer list out for the month of March, and this just is a record of the different things that we're praying for on an ongoing basis. As these prayers are answered, we do our best to keep them up to date, and Miss Beth Lee does a great job with that. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to be added to this or to be considered in our prayer service, you can fill out one of these slips, and they're on the back resource table as well. You can give it to me or you can give it to Mrs. Lee. Probably best off giving it to her, and that way it won't get lost. But that way we would like to pray for those things that take place in your life. And additionally, we have a church prayer page on Facebook. And it's a closed group, so whatever is shared is just within the group. And if you'd like to be added to that, then go to Independent Baptist Prayer Page, and you just request to be added, and we'll add you. And you can stay up to date with certain things. The book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 1, you know, I was considering with the different things that I believe God's leading our church to do and just continuing to move forward. And I preached out of this passage last year, but it is very appropriate. By the way, if we preached it before, is it still true? Yes. Oh, good. We can do it again. And you know, I try not to agonize. And all kidding aside, we do want to preach the whole counsel of God and not just repeat things. The current, you know, just thinking through some things that God is moving. He's moving in our church and moving in my heart and different ones of you, and trying to, you know, the endeavor that we're doing with expansion and praying about building and, you know, the Christian school. We want to honor the Lord. We want our endeavors really to be, and here's the word, a success, right? In fact, the scripture says, which of you, when you build something, goeth not first? And basically, I'm not quoting it directly, but, you know, you don't count the cost because you don't want to end up going halfway and not being able to finish. You want to be successfully in the endeavors that you carry out, but you want the endeavors you carry out to be something God has led you to. And that's exactly where we find Joshua this morning. I'm going to read through just a couple of these scripture verses here in Joshua chapter 1. And then we'll have a word of prayer. Look at what it says in verse 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I have unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even from the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Expansion, that's good. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Success, that's good. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Fulfillment of promises, that's good. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, we live in a nation increasingly obsessed with success. Education, starting small businesses, working long hours, investments, you know, trying to make others think you're a success. Even when you wear it on the outside, people do that. You know, it's all about image. And so people will project a different income bracket than they actually live in. And it costs them, and they rack up credit card debt. Our world worships the successful person. That's within our human nature, at least as they define success, right? I want, you know, and stepping back from that, if we look at it from a different angle, we do want to be successful. We want our ministry to be successful. We want our lives to be, our endeavors to be. No one sets out and says, man, I want to be a failure today. I want nothing more in life than to be a failure. No failure ever did that. Usually when people say that, they're trying to save face. It's not good. I believe the Word of God does teach some elements that are key to success in our lives and ministry. Now, I won't be preaching a health and wealth sermon today. I'm not going to tell you how to have a busting bank account and, you know, a dwindling debt and all these things, you know, accomplishing, achieve what you believe. No, we're not going to be doing that. But I believe the Bible gives us three tenets here that really can help us in pursuing success. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, please help us this morning. Help me as I preach. Guide us. Clear my mind. Pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. Move in our hearts. Lord, each of us have endeavors. Each of us have goals and aspirations. And in the service today, Lord, I pray that we would evaluate them to see if they be lining up with your will. And if they are, Lord, I pray that you would help us to maybe see the roadblocks and what it is that's holding us back. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to examine our heart and see maybe if it's disobedience that's holding us back. Be with us as we think about our church and this ministry, that it would be for your glory to honor you. In your name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, the perception of success. The perception of success. This is really critical. Definitions are everything, because I can change definitions and we can continue to carry on a conversation and we don't know what in the world we're talking about. I can be 90 miles from, you know, we can be so far apart and think we're really close together. Have you ever done that with somebody? You're talking with somebody, you think you're on the same page, and then you realize that they mean something completely different than you mean. Yes, definitions are everything. You know, generally speaking, success is the accomplishment of a purpose. You set out to do something, you accomplish what you wanted to do. You work hard, you form a plan, you pursue it, you take steps. Now, many times people don't ever succeed because they never get out of the planning stage. They never actually start doing. Now, doing is difficult, and sometimes we hold ourselves back, but for many people, the fascination with success starts at an early age. And so you ask little kids, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, one man said he asked little kids what they wanted to be when they grew up. And a lot of people thought he was just trying to relate to children. Somebody says, why do you do that? And he says, because I'm still not sure what I want to be when I grow up, you know. Looking for good ideas. Anybody here looking for good ideas? Yeah. Success is if you plan, you work, you study, you make wise choices, you'll accomplish it maybe and be a success eventually. Hard work pays off. And those of you who have worked hard through your life, you know that. You don't get there easy. What is it biblically, though? Well, I believe biblically it's much more narrow. Accomplishing God's purpose for your life is the success. doing what God has called you to do is biblically success. Now, you can be, and if that's the case, if doing what God calls you to do is biblical success, then friend, you can be successful at your job, in your field of study. You can be successful in your hobbies and be a failure when it comes to spirituality. Do you understand that? God here is not talking about all of these other secular areas. He's talking about with Him and what He calls you to do. You know, God has a purpose for your life. Truth is, when you were created for a purpose. And when you got saved, His purpose was to begin changing you into the image of Jesus Christ so that you could serve Him in whatever capacity you're in this world and bring glory to God. That's why the Word of God says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the first step to being a biblical success. That doesn't mean you cease to succeed in other areas, but until you are sacrificing yourself to God, saying, God, use me however you would, then you'll never see what God can really do in your life. God's plan is that if you're a Christian, you are a success as you become more like Christ, living a life of obedient faith, led by the Holy Spirit, submitted to the Word of God, seeing God work in your life and bless you as a result. I think of what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We quoted that this morning in Sunday school. It says, Paul speaking, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed, the Scripture says, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith to get saved, but then not just faith to get saved, faith to live as a believer. That is biblical success on a daily basis, ongoing. So you really don't reach a plateau. You don't reach a point where you can just coast the rest of the way. Biblical success is living for the Lord on a daily basis, seeking every day to bring glory to Him, accomplishing those things that God calls you to on an ongoing basis, growing more like Christ. And since we're never like Christ completely in this life, we never really finish it until we step into heaven. Success is a lifelong pursuit for the Christian. Can I tell you this? God has a plan for your life. He does. He has a plan for this church. This church's plan is that this church evangelize the lost, edify the saved, and exalt the Savior. And if we are doing that, regardless of what else happens, we're success in God's eyes. Yeah, I rest in that. I want that to take the place. And part of your ministry and your life is part of this church. If God has brought you to independent, let me say this. If God has brought you to independent, the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are part of His body. It's your involvement in this church. By one Spirit, we are baptized into one body of the church. And if you are affixing yourself to this body, part of your biblical success is joining in and helping this church, being supportive and active in the ministry, accomplishing God's purpose. That's the perception of success. So it's not just a once and done thing. It's not a certificate on the wall. It's not a completed statue that we can point to. It's an ongoing endeavor. Well, Pastor, that sets the bar kind of high. Because I struggle. Well, look at God's promises. Not only the perception of success, but the promise of success. We need this because it's difficult. Look at verse 2. Now he's telling Joshua here. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even the children of Israel. Verse 4. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I have unto Moses. That's a neat way of purchasing land, right? Just walk around it. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. By the way, when it comes to the Middle East conquest, who does that land really belong to? God. And to whom God gives it to. which here it says Israel. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. These are amazing promises. Expansion and victory and the presence of God. You know, God had done great things through Moses. He really had. He had used Moses to bring 10 plagues on the most powerful nation in the world at that time. Just devastating the economy and the morale and the dynasty of Egypt. He led through Moses. He led them out of Egypt. He led this group of slaves into the desert. He gave them the law. God did. He spoke face to face with Moses. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look at who Joshua was following after. Now that's to the left. Just like actually, that's the page to your left. Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. Imagine having to fill these shoes. Deuteronomy 34, because you're in Joshua 1, just the page to the left. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Deuteronomy 34, 10. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his hand, and in their mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Nobody was like Moses. This is who he was following, an amazing leader. And now Joshua had the torch of leadership. Verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's your job. He's an amazing leader. You're taking over for him. And so Joshua needed promises. Now, you know great men of God. You know great Christians that you admire. You've seen God do things. Now, maybe they might be missionaries or even somebody that you know where you know God answers prayers in their life. You know their walk for God, their consistency, and you look at them and you just admire it. You have seen God's hand on their life. Anybody know somebody like that? Amen. Well, that's good, but can I tell you that's not enough? See, just like Joshua needed, so you and I need, we need to make our faith our own. What are you saying? Well, listen to this. Listen to these verses from the Apostle Paul. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, sometimes we can live out, and this is a necessary process for every young person who grows up in church. It's a necessary process for anyone who gets saved, that for a certain time you are kind of living the Christian life vicariously of another person. The person who won you to the Lord, the person who's teaching you or mentoring you, and you kind of follow along. You follow along on their convictions, their beliefs, their teachings, what they tell you, you accept, until that time that you begin to make your faith your own and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Many times with young people that happens and they begin to question their faith, teenagers or young adults, and they begin, and it throws their parents for a loop. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Well, if you've trained them well and they've had God's word and they have the right answers available, that questioning process is necessary as they break away from mom and dad's faith and they make their faith their own. They don't say it, you know, when the question is asked, they don't say, well, my mom and dad say, they say, the Bible says, right? And that's really what needs to take place, where we begin to own our faith, working out our own salvation. Why do I say that? Well, it's not just our convictions, but also our own answers to prayer. Is your faith in God anchored in what God has done in your life, or only in what you've heard other people say God has done in their life? See, Joshua needed something.
He was now being called to lead this great group of people, stepping into the shoes of Moses, the greatest leader. But you know what? Moses wasn't perfect. Moses failed. He did. And for that reason, Moses was not leading Israel into the promised land. There was difficulty there. And so Joshua would have to have some promises of his own. He needed God's promises. He needed God's power. He needed God's presence. And that's the promise of success here. You know, the power of God was there in verses 3-6. God promised his power to do his will. He said, I'll help you take the land. I'll help you conquer your enemies. See, when they went into the land of Canaan, when they did what they did, it was by the power of God. You remember their first battle in the land of Canaan? It was a weird battle plan, wasn't it? They came up to this walled city. God didn't teach them. By the way, God is the God of all things. He could have given them technology, taught them how to build a trebuchet, how to make gunpowder. God could have done that, okay? What did he do? He said, march around the city, no talking. Well, that's kind of strange. And they did it. They obeyed it. He said, march around the city one time a day, every day for 7 days. On the seventh day, march around 7 times. And they did it. And you know what? God brought the walls down. That first battle success was teaching them that when they did what they did, the success that they had would be by the power of God. And they needed the power of God. Not only that, but they needed the presence of God. Look there at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know why he said that? Be strong and of a good courage? Because some of the situations they faced would be scary. In doing what God calls you to do, living the Christian life, is not a walk in the park. That's why I said, I'm going to be preaching about success this morning, but I'm not going to tell you that if you serve God and do everything you're supposed to, that life will get easier. The scripture says, they that live godly shall suffer persecutions. We still live in this sin-cursed world, and we feel the effects on us. In fact, we're not going with the flow any longer. We're going against the flow of the world around us. See, their courage would not come from the absence of trial, but from the presence of God. Can I tell you this? The God of Moses, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Jonah, of Samson, of David, of Joshua, he's our God. He's called us to expand his influence. Now, we're not going in and conquering Canaan, but I'll remind you of the verse in Acts chapter 1. It says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Are we called to expand the influence for our Savior in this world? Yes. Amen, we are. Do we need God's power to do that? Yes. You better believe it. You can do a lot of things in your flesh without God's power. Winning souls is not one of them. It will be frustrating. It's hard already. You need God's power. Overcoming obstacles. You know, our fight is against wrong influences in this world. Hold your place there in Joshua. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. This is the battle that we war against so often in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 4. Well, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, that means I walk around this world in my fleshly body, we do not war after the flesh. Our greatest battle in this life is not against the flesh. Our flesh. Other people's. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The real war that takes place is not on a physical level. It is on a spiritual level. The people that you see are not your enemies. They are moved by the enemy. The temptations that you face, those things are moved by the enemy. The battle that we wage is one in the heart and in the mind. having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, we fight against things like sinful temptations, a lack of faith. We fight against apathy. There's a lot of apathy in the world today. A lot of faithlessness. Spiritual laziness. We fight against that, right? Say, Pastor, don't talk about spiritual laziness. We had a spring forward out of bed an hour earlier this morning. Don't go talk about, I'm tired right now, you know. I know, I got some cobwebs in my head today. I'm going to blame it on the clock. You know, there are things that we are facing, things, needs that you have, roadblocks that seem to be keeping you from accomplishing that next step in your life. And you need the power of God and you need the presence of God. Now, here's what's important to understand, though, and I will say this. Sometimes we encounter difficulty, and you know what our interpretation is? We say, well, I have a trial. Maybe this wasn't the will of God. You know, we encounter a difficulty, and we say, just must not be God's will. You might want to recalibrate that. He's literally telling them they're going to be going into battle, and it's going to be God's will. All right? The presence of trials in your life, the presence of difficulties is like way, 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 way down there on the list. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, pray for us, for if an effectual door is opened unto us and there are many adversaries. He told the church to pray for him because he saw an amazing opportunity to serve God, that God had opened the door. Oh yeah, and by the way, there are many adversaries. There's some resistance. But wait a second, I thought if there was resistance, it wasn't the will of God. Friend, do not let circumstances determine your interpretation of God's will. You will always have road bumps. You will always have obstacles. Living the Christian life is not easy. And due to the presence of trials, we need the presence of God. I'll remind you of the words of the psalmist. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's going to come. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen to this verse. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. He says, thou preparest a table before me. That's great. In the presence of mine enemies. Wait a second. I thought if God's blessing was on you, you wouldn't have any enemies. Friend, the Bible doesn't say that. But it does say that we can have courage because God will be with us. The power of God, the presence of God, God working. We must have those things if we are to succeed on a daily basis, living for the Lord, accomplishing those things that God puts on our heart and moves us to do. Well, then let me ask you this. If that is the case, if God promises his blessing, if he promises his presence and his power, then why do we see failures today in Christianity? This is a difficult question, but I'm going to ask it because I want to make a point. Why are churches and leaders and ministries and Christians, why are they failing? If God's power and presence is available, why aren't ministries just flourishing? Why are leaders stepping down and Christians not winning souls? Why don't we have more victory in our life? Well, there's two reasons. Sometimes it is God's doing. Sometimes a closed church or a ministry, a change in administration is not always a failure. God's moving things around and we just don't understand it yet. How many would agree that we don't always understand what God is doing? Yeah. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, sometimes it is simply limited success. God took them as far as he could. He accomplished much. But then God does something different. We have to trust him. Sometimes it's God's doing and we shouldn't be bitter about it. Sometimes we limit God at the success that he can give us. You know, Moses did that. The servant of the Lord, he passed off the scene and really his actions limited the Lord. Which brings me to the third point. Not only the perception of success, not only the promise, but the prerequisite. This is very important. Look at verses 7 and 8. Couched right here in the middle of this passage is what we need in order for us to take advantage of the power of God, the presence of God. It's obedience, friend. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, complete obedience. Do you know sometimes it takes courage to continue being obedient to God's word, even when everybody else is not? Even when you feel like, even when there's pressure to not, to compromise. Let me ask you this, how much of the Bible are we supposed to obey? That's a good answer. I agree with you. What about those parts that we don't like, the parts that call us to change, the parts that speak to our weaknesses, our inner struggles? What about the parts that deal with, you know, my anger? Well, I've always been that way. It just runs in my family. Yeah, well, so does sin. Amen. The scripture says in 1 Peter, listen to this, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We have a holy God. We're called to be holy. Christian, are we pursuing holiness? Separation from sin, separation unto God. Is that a daily pursuit in your life? Are we people of prayer? The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. How often are we prayerless? How often do we not sacrifice for the Lord? The scripture says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You say, I knew he was going to preach about money eventually. Well, you know, listen to what the scripture says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Complete obedience. What about this one? Living for others instead of living for self. The scripture says in the book of Mark, chapter 12, this is enough for us to work on. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, then, you know what happens right after that verse? Then somebody says, well, who's my neighbor? Seeking to justify themselves. And Jesus told the story of the good Samaritan. You heard that last Sunday. How much of God's word are we to obey? All of it. See, even Moses failed here. God told him to speak to the rock, and in his anger, he felt embarrassed or whatever, and he hit the rock. And under his leadership, God did much, but he wouldn't let Moses continue. Did you know our incomplete obedience will limit what God can do through us? Listen to this verse from Psalm 78. It says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Are we limiting God's success in our life because of our limited obedience? What about this one? Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Not just complete obedience, but uncompromising obedience. A little bit different. Every part, all the time. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What if times change and it becomes less expedient, that people come up with crafty ways of trying to get around the truth? Is it time to discard the truth? No. God didn't say, thus saith the Lord, until a certain time. You know, now I do understand different times call for different battle plans. Did they always fight the cities the same way? No, but they always followed them according to God's word. That's exactly right. Methods may change, but you know what? Truth does not change. Truth does not change. What God has said is true. We must not compromise. And God's word must have priority. Look at verse 8. Complete obedience, uncompromising obedience, and priority in our heart and mind. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We must be people of the book. God's word must have priority in our heart so that it can have priority in our speech, that it will influence what we say. We spoke about that yesterday in prayer breakfast. You know, if you have a problem with your tongue, you ultimately have a problem with your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So often we see the symptom like an indicator light on the car, and we want to take a piece of black tape. Somebody told me yesterday, I said, what do you do when you see an indicator light? I knew they were going to say it. They said, you put some black tape over it, cover it up, you know. And we're treating the symptoms of the problem. I've got a problem here and I've got a problem there. What you have a problem is, we don't have enough of God's word into our heart and mind. Amen. I remind you of the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, be not conformed to this world. Oh, friend, the world is seeking to conform you, to program you on a daily basis. Satan wants to. But God wants to program you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By God's word. When God's word has priority in our lives, obedience will result. You know, success is accomplishing the purpose that God has for us. And that comes as we renew our minds on a daily basis with complete obedience, uncompromising obedience, and allowing God's word to be the ultimate authority. Now, I know society is changing definitions. I know society is changing morality. I know society is telling Christians it's not politically correct for you to assume that your religion is the best. I'm not assuming anything. I just know there's no way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. And we must speak the truth in love. But friend, we cannot quit speaking the truth. God's word must have the place of priority. Or those promises of success, the promise of God's power, of his presence, they're not available. You know, our purpose to glorify God, to be conformed into his image, to be used of God to help others, the purpose of our church to glorify God, to bring men to Christ, to disciple them, to grow up Christian families, we need God's help. I think of this scripture verse in Psalm 127. I'm going to turn there. I don't want to misquote it. Psalm 127. This scripture verse just came to mind. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Human endeavor is fruitless without God's blessing. It is vain for you to rise up early. Some of you said amen there. To sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Christian, I want to succeed. But I want to succeed at what God has called me to. There are goals that I have, sure. But everything else is secondary to what God has called you to. So I'm going to ask you this. What has God called you to? Well, he's called you to become more like Christ. Are you pursuing that daily? Well, I don't know, Pastor. I mean, I think I am. Well, are you allowing God's word to renew your mind daily? Because if you're not, you're not going to become more like Christ daily. God's word changes us. That's what we need. It reprograms us, the influence. There is a calling. Now, beyond that, is God calling you to do something in your Christian life right now? You came to church this morning, and yes, you're wrestling with these things, but God has called you to, you would say, Lord's just been laying something on my mind. As I read God's word and as I'm right with God, this keeps coming to my mind. This issue, this endeavor, this person to witness to, this area of ministry, this area of my life, it keeps coming to mind. Then friend, you need to pursue that. You need God's power and his presence. So are we obeying him completely? Without compromise. I believe God wants to give you success in these areas. It is God's will that you accomplish his will. I know that sounds kind of funny. I shouldn't even have to say that. But it is. God wants you to do it. And so, friend, work with him, not against him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would help us to obey you completely. If there's an area of disobedience in our life, something that you're pointing out even this morning, unforgiveness, bitterness, lack of a Christian testimony, an addiction that we have not handed over to you, resistance to step out by faith in something that is clearly commanded. Lord, if there is not complete obedience, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, and that if that's the case, dear Lord, that each one might surrender that area, commit. Lord, if we're struggling with compromise, changing, not obeying on a daily basis, that, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful. Lord, I pray that your word would have preeminence in our life, that we would feed ourselves, influence our hearts by it. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd give each one here spiritual success in their life, but help us to fulfill the prerequisite. We need your power. We need your presence. And here is a ministry this church does. If we are to represent you to the world, we know that trials will come. We know that difficulties will come, that challenges will come, and so we must have you, God. Help us to be closer to you. Lord, I pray that each one here might endeavor that. And if there's one here this morning who does not know for certain that they're saved, that you might draw them to yourself, that they might accept you, come forward during the invitation, that we might show them from Scripture how they can be saved. In your name I pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, during our invitation time as the piano plays, do business with the Lord. If you'd come here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know, you know, you talk about success and these different things. I don't know that I'm saved today. If I were to die today, I don't know where I'd end up in eternity, but I'd like to. And friend, you can get saved today. If you'll come forward during the invitation, if you're a man, I'll set you up with a man to show you from God's word how you can know for certain where you're going for eternity. If you're a lady will counsel with you. As the piano plays, if you have needs, do business with God.